How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? This is the night the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a great night to
die.
Yes, die to yourself. The ultimate goal, dying to ourselves. The foundational process is to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow Him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know, there's a move of the Spirit, and one of the things we want to do is be in the move so He can move through us, right? So that's why we we got to constantly deny ourselves. And one of the things that in the move of the Spirit, there is a cleansing going on. It's almost like a sifting. And in the sifting, God is exposing what is not of Him, and He's allowing to grow what is of Him. You know, Jesus came to bring us life and life abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, one of the most awesome things, and it still blows me away, you know, the Word says that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. It's amazing how many people still don't realize that it's the devil they're fighting, not the people. The Word says we don't fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness, wickedness, and heavenly places, right? And that's a thing that you and I must maintain and upkeep, is to constantly make what is unseen to become seen. We must remind ourselves and remind each other. When things are going, happening, manifesting, you're going through trials and tribulations, praise God. It's God trying to expose your enemy. The thing is if you get caught up in you, you won't see it. You'd be so concerned about me, 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 and me. Me, myself, and I is an additional trinity of darkness. Hello? So in this, one of the things that the world is looking for is a sign and wonder. They go to spirit mediums and all these other things, and they're looking for a sign and wonder. And it's not just about a miracle, because even people who have had miracles and healed, that goes away. People walk away from it sometimes. What they're looking for is a sign and wonder, and that it's people that are a sign and wonder. You know, after I'd gotten saved, delivered, and healed, my family still had one eye. All right, what's going on here? Is he playing religion now? Yeah, I'm free. Oh, well, if that works for you, go ahead. Do you ever talk to somebody and tell them you're freed up? And you know, and then they'll say, well, if that works for you, especially if you talk to a doctor. Yeah, I got healed at a service. Well, if that works for you, well, you idiot, it will work for you too. But in this, you know, my family was still waiting for me to fall. Okay, how long is this going to last? But after 19 years, I think they got it. Yeah, he's real. So now when I'm with some of my family, they go, man, you should have seen my brother before or whatever. Look at him now. So there's something that you and I have to maintain. It's called integrity. We got to maintain an integrity. And integrity, we had a teaching on spiritual integrity, but there's an area where we must maintain integrity. And maintaining integrity is what separates you from the world. It separates you from religion. It separates you because of the integrity. In other words, you are consistent. You're consistent. You don't change. You're consistent. And in this integrity, which allows an individual to become a sign and wonder. The first sign and wonder you're going to be to is those who are close to you, even though they might want to run from you for a while, but that's okay. Then you'll be a sign and wonder to your family and where you work, people you haven't seen in a long time. One of the things that they'll say is, man, you changed. Would you grow your hair or something? Or would you get a haircut? Did you lose weight or did you gain weight? No, man. It's the presence of God in my life. And it's the presence of God in your life. Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1? How many of y'all want to maintain integrity? Praise God. Maintaining integrity, for those of you who'd like to know what tonight's teaching is. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's an area where maintain godliness, or it's called integrity. And that reflects God-likeness. So everybody got it. Godliness is a reflection of God-likeness. It doesn't mean we're God, but you know, I am his son. And like son, like father, right? So we're to maintain a godliness, which is a character. This integrity is in operation at all times and all day. In every daily function, whether you're at work, play, church, whether you're fellowship, or whether you're in your finances, your relationships, there should be an integrity that is maintained in everything you do. It always must be God-likeness. You know, people were walking around with those bands a while. In fact, I haven't seen them in a while. What would Jesus do? I think so much conviction got up, they threw them out after a while. What would Jesus? You know, I think so much conviction came, people started just throwing them out. They said, forget this. You know, but this is an area where integrity. And, you know, we should ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? What I'm doing, is it approving to God? Or is it disproving? Am I gaining the Lord's favor or losing it? Am I gaining his trust or losing it? And all these areas, it's an area where we've got to maintain integrity. Integrity is the quality of the state of being that conducts itself in all moral, honesty, uprightness, and truth in Christ. It's an area where it's a state of being. It's something that you and I conduct. What we are expressing is Christ. And there is a level of integrity where we express Christ, where we become God-likeness. Go to John chapter 3. Everybody knows John 3:16. They need to read all of it, though. Again, integrity is a quality of the state of being that conducts itself in all moral aspects, and honesty, and uprightness, and truth, all reflecting Christ. We are reflecting Christ. Amen? In John 3:16, it said, for what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loved us, didn't he? He loved the world. That's why he died for us. Amen? So he came into the world. Remember, love is the key to integrity. And I'm not talking about natural love. I'm talking about godly love. Because the carnal love is lust. Lust is something you can't get rid of. Has everybody got it? You must conquer it. In other words, this love is lust. There's a difference between a love affair and a lust affair. There's a love that comes from God Almighty that is totally different than the world's love. And in this love that is from God is the key to integrity that's from God. There are people that have an integrity. I mean, even carnal people have integrities. They might have integrity because they show up to work on time. They pay their bills. They're respectful. But when it comes to talking about the Lord, they pull out the pitchforks. Or they, I don't want to know anything about God. So then maybe an integrity that's according to the ways of the world, but there's an integrity that is according to the ways of God that is different. And that integrity is held key by his love. His love. That's why we must ask for the Lord to fill us with his love. The word talks about the love of the world and the love of God. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave himself. Amen. He gave himself. Again, there's two types of love. There's the love of the world and there is the love of God. Love is the key to integrity. The love of God is the key to integrity. Because in this love, it burns through everything that tries to come against you. It burns through. It's a love affair with the Lord God Almighty that whatever comes your way, you will maintain integrity. You will not be moved because you are in love. There's a respect and an honor and a reverence in that love, and it's called the fear of God. It's called the what? The fear of God. And when we lose the fear of God, we actually lose the love of God. And anybody can fall prey to it. There isn't one person here who cannot fall into it. Anyone, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he doesn't quit. Remember, we are on a planet that is ruled by Satan's kingdom, and he's after every one of God's children. And the Word tells us that in the book of Revelation. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. What's the key to integrity? Love. What love? God's love. You know, people might say, man, I just love my job, and they have an integrity there, right? I love my car, but I got an integrity there. Why? Because they maintain it and upkeep it. They make sure it's filled with gas, it gets oil changes and tune-ups and so on. But there's a love that is of God that burns through every circumstance in our life, no matter what. And verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Now listen, this is not the love of the world. This is the love of God. Love suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, all of this is associated when the end comes. Has everybody got it? Because there's still tongues. Hello? There's still gifts of the Spirit. For we know in part, and we what? Prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So we still need to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, there is an exchange being made of integrity. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Why? Because love is the what? Key to integrity. Amen? God's love is the key to integrity. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Let's start at 16. Some things just don't change. Let's read it together. Verse 16. And we have known and believed that love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Everyone say no fear in love. So if there's fear in love, what is it? It's lust. Everybody got it. If there's fear in love, it's lust. It's not the love of God, because there's a fruit of love. So everybody got this? And the fruit of love is what? The key, integrity. It's godly integrity, isn't it? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out what? Fear. Because fear involves what? torment. Now, wait a minute. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. That's how he controls people. Fear will put you in bondage instantly. Puts a leash around your neck, and then he just cruises you. But he who fears has not been made perfect in what? Love. So there's a place where you and I must have intimacy with the Lord and be in love with the Lord so that there's an exchange of love. You know, that's all you need to do. Listen, how do you change? You must exchange. What are you exchanging? Lord, I'm giving you the love of this world for your love. I'm giving you my sicknesses for your healing. I'm giving you my poverty for riches. I'm giving you my lack for abundance. See, you make the exchange because that's what he did on the cross for me and you, didn't he? Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. If love involves torment, that is bondage and it's not the love of God. Amen? Is everybody okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So the key to integrity is love, godly love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How do you stir up a gift? What, do you jump up and down? You pray. You pray in the Spirit. That's why he's saying, I laid hands on you. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost and you got tongues. You pray in the Spirit. You stir yourself up. You start praising God. Hallelujah! You stir yourself up. Verse 7. For God has not given us a what? Spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. So listen, when that spirit of fear comes, what he's trying to do is nullify the love of God, the power of God, and the mind of God in me and you. Then you act like a normal human. Remember, we are not humanites, we're eternal lights. See, this is what separates us. Why? Because an eternal light carries the integrity from above, not from beneath. But what will nullify this? Fear. So the enemy's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. He will always try to exchange God's love with fear. And the next thing you know, you're thinking naturally. You're trying to reason naturally. You're trying to weigh things naturally. Well, this just doesn't make sense. Of course it won't. This just doesn't feel right. Oh, shut up. It has nothing to do with feeling. See, now you're looking for a feeling now. You're looking for something to grab hold carnally. Oh, I need some fulfillment here. Wait a minute. Who told me that? I need to get rid of this. Lift my hands to heaven, start praying in the Spirit, praising God. Lord, fill me with your love. Command that spirit to leave. Proverbs chapter 10. The power, love, and sound mind. Fear disarms integrity of God. Proverbs 10. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. Proverbs of Solomon. Let's speak it together. A wise son makes glad a father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise man, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, unmovable. Stable, unshakable. But he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes what? Trouble. But a prating fool will fall. So again, in this, with someone who walks in integrity, walks securely. Because he's walking in the love of God and expressing the character of Christ. And his purposes in everything he does, that he carries the integrity of Christ. Not the integrity that pleases man, but the integrity that pleases God. Because the Lord is always before that individual. In Psalm 89, see, the world is looking for individuals with godly integrity so that you can be a sign and a wonder. Psalm 89, in verse 13, let's speak it together. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand and high as your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Now look at righteousness and justice. Is it integrity of Christ? Yes. So you got to understand, look at, if you're looking at this, remember, Jesus said, now, you are now the temple of God. He who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. So we are the tabernacle of God Almighty. His spirit dwells in us. What he wants is rain. He wants it right away. That's what he's looking for. So he can express himself. In doing so, it says here, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So righteousness and justice should be your foundation. Amen? Mercy and truth go before your face. These are all characteristics of integrity. This is what we should be walking in. Verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your what? Countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. So what you're doing now is you are walking, actually he's walking in you and through you and expressing himself, which people look at your integrity, which is his. Amen? Go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Start at verse 1, please. Let's speak it together. Praise the Lord. Is everybody there? Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, and who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at what? All times. In other words, his integrity is expressed through you. When? Only when you feel like it? Only when you're around people? Only when you go to church? Only when you need something? All the time. All the time. Everyone say, all the time. Proverbs 16. Oh, but nobody's looking. All the time. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 16, verse something. Proverbs 16, sorry. Verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Is everybody there? Are you ready? Now, we've been talking about the key to integrity is God's love, right? Now we're going to talk about how to maintain the integrity. First, we had to lay a foundation. Verse 32, let's read it. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. He who what? Rules his spirit. One of the things that's vitally important, the first thing is we must understand what is the ruling spirit in our life. And we've talked about this before. In other words, what's the ruling voice in your life? Is it the voice of the Lord or the voice of the world? What is the ruling voice? It is our responsibility to discern the ruling voice in our life. Is it the voice of the world with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life? Is it the voice of fear? Is that the ruling voice? Or is it the voice of God with his love that allows you to burn through anything and everything? What are you being controlled by? What is the ruling voice? Because whatever ruling voice is ruling over you, it's controlling you. So the fruit will be freedom or bondage. Amen? You'll either be free or you'll be in bondage. You'll either be walking in peace, joy, and righteousness in the Spirit, or you'll be walking in torment, one or the other. So the first thing that we've got to begin to recognize is what is the ruling spirit? What is the ruling voice in my life? Has everybody got it? Proverbs 14. That's why we have a teaching called Who Told You That? Proverbs 14. And verse 12. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart of many sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. Is everybody there? Verse 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above.
The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from what? Evil. But a fool rages and is self-confident. Oh, I can do this. I'm all right. Self-confident. Confident in your own abilities. When our confidence is supposed to be in the Lord. So everybody see that? I want to say 14 again. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Wicked intentions, that's associated with motive. The next thing that we must always discern is, what is the ruling motive in my life? What is that motive? What are those intentions? You and I should be able to discern motive. Even when you are speaking to someone, you should be able to discern motive. What's the motive? The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Again, the second thing that we must constantly discern in our life is, what is the ruling motive? And you must ask yourself that also. What's my motive on this? In fact, and discern what somebody else's motive is when they're trying to do something with you. What's the motive? Why? Because how many of y'all know, anybody ever been manipulated? Now, don't raise your hands. Anyone ever manipulate somebody else? Don't raise your hands, because everyone here ought to raise both. We've all manipulated for our own gain, although sometimes we thought we were doing it for God. Oh, I'm going to manipulate for you, Lord. Oh, I'm doing this for you. I'll repent afterward, but I'm doing this for you. No. So in this manipulation, there is a motive behind it. You know, I was in jail today and ministering, and I was just led to share whatever the Spirit was sharing with me. And this one guy was justifying everything. You know, I tried that. Didn't work. I tried that. Didn't work. I had to beat down my flesh. My flesh was thinking some other things. And then the mind of Christ kicked in, thank God. And one of the things I began to see what his motive was. And it wasn't him. It was the spirits in him. And as I began to see the spirits in him trying to cause me to stumble or try to manipulate me to get into an arena, or even, see, the devil likes to suck you in the ring. Come on in the ring, brother. Yeah, he likes God. Come on in the ring, sister. Come on. You get in the ring, you lose the battle. The only time you get in that ring is when the Lord sends you in there, because then he's in there with you. Do not let the devil suck you in the ring. I had a dream on that. I'm telling you, the Lord was sharing with me, and there's this boxing ring. And in this dream, I'm going to the boxing ring. And I have this robe on in his hood, and I'm dancing. I'm thinking, wait a minute. And I got a boxing glove on my hand. I'm going, Lord, what are you doing? And he's saying, it's okay, guy. And he puts a glove on my other hand. He started tightening up real tight. And I'm like, I haven't worked out in a while. I haven't boxed in a long time. I said, but I'll go for you. Okay. Then I stopped again. I said, are you sure you want me to get in the ring? You know, I haven't trained. I haven't, you know. And he's just ignoring me and tightening up the gloves. He says, okay. And I'm going, I stop one more time. Are you sure you want me to get in there and fight? Yeah, Kenny tightens up both. Okay. I woke up. And I had a meeting the next day with some religious people. And we were in the ring. I mean, it was intense. My wife also had a dream about three foxes that same night. And I was attacked by three people. And these people were vicious. And I thought they were Christians. But when I saw the shadows behind them and what was ruling them, I said, Lord, I'm just going to get on my knees and pray in the Spirit. He says, you do that, they'll kill you. They wouldn't let me out of a room. And it was just a meeting. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, I'm going to make a way of escape for you. He said, these people think they serve me, but they serve themselves, and they use my word to abuse their own family. They were religious. Anyways, I sensed something. I smelled it, and I said something about somebody smoking about something. One of the guys, because they were trying to prove how righteous they were and all this stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, that man's a smoker. I said, man, how come you're talking about all this stuff and you're over here a huffer? And he got out of my way. And the Lord said, I'm making a way of escape for you. So I slowly just walked towards the door. I didn't want to look like I was in fear. And I said to the Lord, do you want me to start binding? I just bound some spirits and just under my breath, I bind that devil and this thing. And I walked over to the door. And when I got to the door and it was open, I said, you know, y'all just blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? And I said, and you offended my Father. And that's between you and him. But I've done and came here and shared the truth because they wanted to know my testimony. They told me I was still drug-induced and that all these involved in witchcraft. They had no idea. They didn't know nothing. They knew the surface of the word, but never the depth of the word because they didn't have relationship with the Spirit. They didn't know. And they were self-righteous because, see, there's an area where you can get false revelation which puffs up. True revelation from God brings humbleness. It doesn't puff you up. It brings you humble. It makes you realize how puny we really are. Amen? But anyways, I was out of there. But I was forced to go in the ring. You understand that? The Lord was preparing me, sending me in the ring. And let me tell you, when I left there, I was so drained. I was so drained. I got home. I fell on my face. Mom and Kate laid hands on me and began to pray in the Spirit, and I just started getting filled up again. I got up, shook the dust off, and I was like, my gosh, it was crazy. Because when you're in a ring, it's draining. It's draining. So don't get sucked in the ring. You will lose the battle unless the Lord is with you. But this is where the enemy tries to manipulate you. So you must begin to see motive. What is your motive? What's someone else's motive? What's that manipulation? Is there manipulation? What is it? Somebody trying to cause you to stumble, trying to set you up. Amen? So the first thing we want to look at is what's the ruling spirit in our life? What's the ruling voice that we're listening to? The second thing is what's the ruling motive? What's ruling? What's the motive? In Proverbs 19. We want to maintain integrity, we must discern these things. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will what? That will stand. So we got to understand something. What is the ruling agenda? In other words, what's the plan? What's your plan? Do you have a plan? Or is your plan coordinating with what God is saying? So we must always discern the ruling agenda or the will associated with the plan. We must examine ourselves of ruling spirits of the voice, the ruling motive, what's behind every choice, and the ruling agenda, which is the plan or the will. What is your agenda? Amen? Is it living up to the integrity of Christ? Does everybody understand this? Is your motive living up to the integrity of Christ? Is your agenda, your plan, your will living up to the integrity of Christ? Is the voice you're listening to living up to the integrity of Christ? All of these three, if we will examine ourselves, will allow us to maintain Christ's integrity. Remember, the key to integrity is love, His love. But to maintain integrity, we must know what the ruling spirit, motive, and agenda is. The ruling what? Spirit, motive, and agenda is. In our life, in our every decision, whatever we're doing. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 5. And let's speak it together. Therefore, put to death your what? Your members, not your neighbors. Your members. Therefore, put to death your members, not your roommates, not your spouses. Your members, not your pastor. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, which are what? Fornicate. Come on, speak it with me. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on, oh hallelujah, which is the what? The key to integrity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Go to James chapter 1. James 1. And the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If we'll maintain those three areas of discerning what's ruling over us, you will maintain the integrity of Christ, and you won't give place to the devil. In James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your integrity, hallelujah, the testing of your faith produces patience, which is endurance. Let me tell you, God does test our integrity. He wants to make sure it's his. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Well, if you're going to maintain those three areas of discerning what's ruling on you, you won't lack. You won't lack. Has everybody got it? Let's go 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So God will test your integrity to see if it's his. In verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He what? Hears us. You know, the word says that God hears a worshiper, but not a sinner, until the sinner repents. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. In other words, don't pray about it. Go tell the person, man, you die. You're going to die, man. You're in fornication. Cut it out. You out there associating and indulging yourself in the ways of the world, cut it out. In other words, he says, you don't have to pray about it. You have to expose it if you see your brother doing something. In verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whatever is born of God does not sin. In other words, he repents quickly, so sin doesn't have dominion over him. You might drop a hammer on your foot and say something that God wouldn't say. So you just repent quickly. Lord, forgive me. Like God's never heard that, you know. So what he's saying, if we are born of God, we don't sin. In other words, we don't let sin reign over us. We repent quickly. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Say, keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. Let me share with you the three areas of keeping yourself. What's the first one? The ruling spirit. What's the second one? The ruling motive. And what's the third one? The ruling agenda. We're to discern whether they are of God or not. That's what allows you to what? Keep yourself in his integrity. Let's go a little further. Verse 19. Speak it with me. Wait a minute, I want to do 18 again. We need to get this imparted. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So we've got no excuse.
Oh, the devil made me do it.
No, you allowed him in. You probably sent him an invitation and didn't even realize it. 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. There is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. I think we got it. I don't need to go to the other 14 scriptures. Hallelujah. Did you get it? Maintaining integrity. Vitally important. This is how you will be a sign and wonder. You will be a sign and wonder. The world is looking for God. And we're the carriers. Amen? We're the carriers. Let him have his way and let him express himself through us. But we must maintain the area first, his love. Amen? His love is the key to the integrity. His love will burn through anything. Doesn't matter. Burns through offense. Burns through everything. Burns through fear. Amen? And you'll maintain the integrity of Christ. People won't even know who you are anymore. In fact, there's times when you don't know who you are yourself. Man, I can't believe I said that. Whoa. You know, things just changing in our lives. And God is just moving rapidly because he's expressing himself. And you're going to maintain his integrity to be a sign and wonder to the world. Why? Because when someone's in need, they're going to need a hand. They're going to need someone to pray with. They're looking for the love of God because that's where we came from. We came from his presence, which is pure love. And that's what they're looking for. The problem is they're looking for love in the wrong places, and there's not fulfillment. Only in his presence and in his love is fulfillment. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that through the seed that has been imparted tonight of your word, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory, be protected by the blood of Christ, and that the fullness and the stature of Christ would be formed in each and every one of us, so that your integrity would be maintained, that you would quicken us to this message in those areas of the ruling spirit, ruling motive, and ruling agenda, that we would be able to discern in everything that we do what is ruling, you or deception. So, Lord, we ask again for your forgiveness in every area where we've allowed deception to rule us instead of truth in you. Again, wash us with the blood and heal us with your stripes. Continue to fill us and reveal, visit, establish, and perfect us for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.